Here we are, Locked On NFL, taking you around the league daily here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Brian Peacock alongside the scout, Matt Williamson. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. Matt is at WilliamsonNFL. We've got a little bit of news to get to and a special guest today, your boy Q. He is the host of Locked On Raiders. He's doing fantastic work there, and the Raiders, a surprise playoff push right now, sitting at 5-4 and just a half game behind the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC West and tied for that sixth seed in the AFC, along with Matt Williamson's Steelers. A surprising run by both of those teams. We're going to get into all of that stuff, what's going on in Oakland with Q in just a minute. First, some news though, Matt, and this one obviously is going to be a huge story. And yesterday, last night sometime, Colin Kaepernick tweeted out, quote, "I'm just getting word from my representatives that the NFL league office reached out to them about a workout in Atlanta on Saturday. I've been in shape and ready for this for 3 years. Can't wait to see the head coaches and GMs on Saturday." And then other people chimed in, and some writers and people familiar with the situation. And this is a league workout, not necessarily a team workout. Colin talking about head coaches and GMs. I'm not sure how many head coaches and GMs are going to be there. Some other people going as far as to say this is a sham, this is a show by the NFL. I don't know what to make of it, but obviously it's big news. Colin Kaepernick deserves a shot and might potentially be getting a shot.
Yeah, it's very big news. And obviously he's a hot-button player for numerous reasons. I can't say I remember a workout, from the league. Right. I mean, usually a player has his own that the agent organizes and those type of things. But I can't remember an NFL workout that they're sponsoring or sanctioning or whatever word you want to use. It's been 3 years, so who knows what he is as a player. But last I saw him, he was an NFL starting quarterback, in my opinion. I mean, I thought he was a better football player when he was blackballed, whatever you want to call it, than people gave him credit for. Was he perfect? No. I got to think some of his athleticism has left him, his speed and some of those traits that he was so, dangerous with. But if he's close to the player we saw last, he could help a lot of teams. Who's going to be there? I don't think any head coach is going to be there. They got to play games, They don't have time to fly across country and do that. I mean, maybe your director of pro scouting or a representative from every team will be there. I mean, I would certainly want to see it. You can obviously get the video. They're going to video the whole thing. But I wouldn't expect, head coaches, Bill Belichick's not going to drop what he's doing and go over there.
Right, exactly right. And maybe it gets him workouts in those cities with those teams. So I like the idea of this workout happening. It's long overdue for Colin Kaepernick that, yes, like you mentioned, at worst would be the best backup, on most teams. The question is now, he's so far removed from actual game reps, and that's been a while, and you can be in as good a shape as you can over the course of 3 years. And apparently he's working it out 5 a.m. every day, but seeing those live bullets is something completely different. So that's going to be difficult for him to overcome. And if we're talking about teams and maybe some fits for Colin Kaepernick, we had talked about Lamar Jackson and how he's, not the most stout of players. And I've always said when you're a running quarterback, you're a hurt quarterback. It still worries me about Lamar Jackson. He's been really good at not taking shots, and you pray that he doesn't get hurt. But Greg Roman, offensive coordinator, was Cap's offensive coordinator in San Francisco. The style he plays, you see the pistol offense that he ran from his days back in Nevada. If there's a team that there's a perfect fit for and someone that you might want a backup quarterback, who Colin Kaepernick is, I don't think anybody that's watched football would argue that peak Colin Kaepernick isn't head and shoulders better than RG3, who's the current backup there right now. He's not going to get a job to start anywhere, is Colin Kaepernick. So Baltimore just seems like such a perfect fit for his style, what they're running, what they would need to have someone who could potentially back up a quarterback who runs a lot with that potential for injury.
Yeah, that one makes it, that's the obvious one. It makes a ton of sense. I don't know that you could trust him to be the number two. I don't say, because you've never seen him play football for 3 years, but you get him in the door, you work with him at practice every day, you see where he is. That makes a ton of sense to me. You already talked about the offensive coordinator connections. His style of football would clearly fit what the Ravens are doing on offense. And I think it was yesterday, maybe it was the day before, that I said something along the lines on here that if I'm the Ravens, I'm using a third or fourth round pick on an athletic quarterback maybe every year. You know what I mean? Like, I want four of them in the building. It's a different way of roster building, and maybe they could even do other things at times. You know, who knows? But I like that fit a lot. I'm sure we could come up with more, but I think no matter where he lands, if he does land, it would be get in the building, sit on ice for a while, take you to camp next year, and hopefully you're a really strong number two.
And with Baltimore, that was one of the teams that was rumored to be interested in Cap a long time ago when he was first available. And then, there was rumors that, because it's the Harbaugh connection as well, and Jim Harbaugh loves Kaepernick, and the representatives or the coaching staff, the GM, wanted to talk to ownership first, and then there was Kaepernick's girlfriend on Twitter saying that they're this and that because they had to ask ownership for permission to sign Kaepernick and all this stuff, and the whole idea fell apart, and then everything got very quiet on the Kaepernick front with Baltimore and with most teams and all teams around the NFL, really. He had a chat with the Seattle Seahawks, did not end up signing there, which I think would also be a very good fit. So yeah, it's an interesting conversation. He deserves a shot. He's better than most backups in the league. He could start for some teams. If we're talking about the Kaepernick that we last saw just coming off of, playing football, being out for 3 years really hurts him at this point. But getting into a system, the sooner the better. And, potentially even in 2020, being able to be somebody who could play for a team at that point. But getting in front of people, talking to people, I think the face-to-face interviews is probably the most important part of this whole thing, that he'll be available for interviews and talking to teams. And I think that's his path to getting back into the NFL.
Yeah, and I haven't thought about Kaepernick in a while, but when he was a hot-button topic, it really bothered me, and I brought it up a lot on the show that I couldn't believe that he can't get a shot to help a team. I mean, especially at that position where there's a shortage in the league, and I'm not going to get political or anything. That's not my style, but Tyreek Hill, Joe Mixon, these guys have jobs and he doesn't. Kareem Hunt, come on.
Right. Yeah. Think what you want about the political side of things, but, and you, every single person you see that talks about how Cap is not in the league purely because of his play doesn't know football and hasn't watched him play. I mean, they have their own agenda. So that's pretty clear.
That's absolutely true. You watch them, I'm sure, every snap. I mean, that was an NFL quarterback.
Real quick, we talked about the Ravens, by the way. Did you see the one play where they ran that option with Robert Griffin on the field along with Lamar Jackson? And they ran a little option, and Jackson pitched it to Griffin. And then also in the backfield was Mark Ingram. And I was watching on Red Zone Channel, Scott Hansen bringing it up, that all three former Heisman Trophy winners in the same backfield at the same time, which might be the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. I mean, that game obviously wasn't super competitive. I'm not sure that they're doing that in the AFC Championship game. You know what I mean?
Well, hey, that wrinkle. Okay. Maybe we talked about Belichick scheming for them and not caring if they lost because they had a chance to watch them. Maybe that's the counter for Baltimore to be like, look what else we can do.
Yeah, right. I mean, did those Horning Packer teams have a couple Heisman people in the backfield? I don't know. But still, pretty cool. Yeah. And I don't think we'll see a lot of it, but it is noteworthy.
I did see some information about just teams that had three Heisman Trophy winners, and actually the Raiders was one of them. It was Tim Brown, Bo Jackson, and Marcus Allen, but not lining up in the same backfield at the same time. There was some with some players from deep in the past that I wasn't familiar with. Packers wasn't one of them, but very interesting there. And yeah, you can do some things there when you have multiple athletic quarterbacks, which is kind of the point here why Cap would make a lot of sense actually in Baltimore.
Yeah, it would. And it's obviously a very stable organization. The head coach has extreme job security. I mean, I like that fit a lot.
Anyway, we got to move on. We got to talk to our boy Q, talk a little Oakland Raiders, talk AFC playoff picture here in week 11. And it will be a media circus for whatever team signs Cap, but it'll be short-lived. It'll be a couple of weeks. The team that signs him has to have the guts to say, okay, we're going to have microphones in our face for a couple weeks, but it's going to blow over quickly. That's just the way it's going to be. And he's an NFL talent and deserves to be on an NFL roster. We've got to move on to our conversation with your boy Q, host of Locked On Raiders. What's going on in Oakland? The 5-4 Raiders, well positioned now, along with those Pittsburgh Steelers, suddenly in the AFC playoff picture. Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is super easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite too. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get up to $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's one word, locked on, and $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code Locked On. Don't forget, that's promo code Locked On for $5 off your first order from DoorDash.
Dudes, listen up. Let's talk about sex. Good sex. Remember those days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. I've told you about them many times. If you haven't tried it, you're out of your mind. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Guys, I never understood the pill thing. I mean, hey, you're going to make an appointment for an hour from now? I mean, Blue Chew works so much better. Blue Chew is prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, zero awkwardness. Made in the USA, and Blue Chew prepares and ships direct. They're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, they have a fantastic deal for all of you listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment totally free when you use our promo code LOCKEDONNFL. All you're paying is $5 shipping, and you're getting way more than $5 worth of product. And the promo code is Locked On. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them a great deal for sponsoring the podcast.
Our guest today on Locked On NFL, we've got your boy Q. He is the host of Locked On Raiders. You can also hear him middays on ESPN Radio Central Texas. Q, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing really good, and man, it's nice when the Raiders are actually playing pretty good and got a nice little record. All of a sudden, you start to get some calls, some requests to go on the radio podcasts. It's a lot of fun.
I'm shocked with where the Raiders are right now. They're highly relevant, and it seems like they're playing efficient, well-coached, hard-to-play-against football.
They really are, you know, and it's something that's not, you know, it's not one of those high-flying magic show acts like the Kansas City Chiefs have, where it's just like helter skelter, Madden ball, or whatever. It's just well coached, like you mentioned. It's controlled football. It's powered by the run game. Derek Carr has to be accurate, and his timing has to be perfect. And right now, especially over the last three or four games, he really has been the guy. He's been the guy who's been in full control of what John Gruden wants him to do out there on the field. And Josh Jacobs, the rookie running back, has done a heck of a job so far his rookie year. And really, the young guys on the team, some of the misfits on the team, it's almost like a throwback Raider team, because you have some guys that are just kind of castaways from other rosters, and all of a sudden they've come to the silver and black, and they found their way and found a role. It might not be a major role, but it's a role, and they're all just – they're understanding what they're supposed to be doing, and it's really been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, Al Davis would be proud.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it turns out Gruden can still coach a little bit, which is interesting, and I like the guys Mike Mayock is bringing in. The rookie class is doing things. You've got Josh Jacobs, a phenomenal rookie campaign so far. But the other first-rounder, Cleveland Farrell, sort of coming on as of late. I know some people were looking at other players and other pass rushers and thinking, oh, man, maybe the Raiders didn't get their guy, but I actually like that he's got this competitiveness to him, where after his 2.5 sack game, he was asked by reporters about it, and he just had this one answer ready to go, which was basically like, psh, I don't know why you're surprised by that. We're here to play. We're going to win some games later.
Can you tell us about the other pass rushers too? Max Crosby, some of these other guys that aren't household names playing really well.
Yeah, no, they really are, man. And I like Max Crosby a lot, the fourth round pick out of Eastern Michigan. And he's a guy who I think he's playing a lot more than he was expected to when the season began. I think they thought that they were going to kind of bring him on slowly and be a situational pass rusher. But something that John Gruden said about this guy weeks ago is once he got on the field and the way that his motor runs, you can't take him off because that effort doesn't quit. You know, he just goes. And he's not, you know, leading the league in sacks, or he's not doing any of that. But if you look, he's doing all the little things. You know, he's getting a lot of pressures on the quarterback. He caused a couple interceptions or caused a couple Phillip Rivers bad throws on Thursday night for those interceptions. And he's doing a lot. And again, he's just kind of almost the exact guy who his coach is in John Gruden. One of those guys who, you know, they got the energy, you know, they got the motor that's going to run. He's a typical Gruden grinder. A lot of times we make jokes about the Gruden grinder. Is he going to be a Gruden grinder? He is a typical Gruden grinder. And it's been a lot of fun to watch him develop. And I think he's only going to continue to get better and better and better.
Yeah. And Farrell is too, huh? He's starting to emerge.
Yeah, no, he really is. You know, it's funny about him, man. I'm glad you guys brought him up. You know, he was underperforming as far as sack totals, and a lot of Raider fans were getting upset because, oh, you could have had Josh Allen, Brian Burns, you could have had this guy, that guy, whatever, and they went with Clelin Ferrell, and it was a surprise. It was a surprise to me. I'm not going to lie to you. It was a surprise to me when they picked him at number four, and he said the other day in an interview when it was asked, was like, hey, what do you say to the fans that are upset by your lack of sack totals? And he's like, I don't even care about any of that. I don't listen to any of that. I know who I am as a player. I know who I'm going to be as a player. I know what we're building here as a team, and I know what we're going to do. And all that other stuff doesn't matter. I don't care about football as far as the money that it makes me. I don't care about the fame. I'm here for the love of the game. And that kind of just got my attention and made my ears perk up. And then the next night he goes out and gets 2.5 sacks and has like 10 pressures on Phillip Rivers. I'm thinking, okay, I see where he's going with this. So I think that's one of the main reasons why they went out and got him. He was a leader on that Clemson defense.
Hey Q, how has the team come out of the Antonio Brown circus in the offseason? Looming move to Las Vegas. There's a lack of home games there for a big stretch playing in London. How have they come out of that so much better than a lot of people expected? I mean, Matt and I have picked the Raiders to lose just about every week when we do our picks on Friday episodes, and we've been wrong more than we've been right. So were our expectations too low for the Raiders in 2019, or are they overachieving right now?
Well, I think I'm not going to lie to you. I think they are overachieving, but I think a lot of that has to do with all the issues and the challenges that they had to face. You know, the things that you were talking about. AB, the lack of home games. I mean, they were gone from the Oakland Coliseum for 6 weeks. They went from week two all the way until just the other day, a couple games ago. And it's unbelievable that they were able to go all the way to London, go to Indianapolis, go to Minnesota, go to Green Bay. I mean, go all on these different road trips and find ways to at least compete. And then some of those games pick up wins. And that kind of helped build this team, I believe. And I was at the game in Houston, and I asked the guys in the locker room, did that long road trip, what did that do for you? What did that do? And they said, look, we had no other option but to become a tight unit because that's all we were. We were just all around us. We didn't have our family. We didn't have our friends. We didn't have anything. It was just us with each other. And so we had to form that bond. And that was what a rookie Trayvon Mullen told me. And that was right after he got his first career start. And he said, I just think that this team is going to continue to grow, and you're going to see at the end of the season who we really are. And they're starting to show that. They're starting to turn the corner. And I think that if they admit it to you, they'd probably tell you that they're ahead of schedule right now. But that's okay, because it's the NFL, and sometimes that's how it goes. Sometimes a ball will bounce your way. Sometimes you'll come up with a play at the end of the game and steal a game or win a game. And right now, sitting at 5-4 after 9 weeks, unless you're just out of your mind, Raider Nation's got to be thrilled.
Yeah, you know what, Q? I mean, not enough people are talking about this offensive line, and it took us too long to get to that point in this conversation, too.
Right.
We know Derek Carr needs to be protected, or at least he's much better when protected. I mean, we know his strengths and weaknesses in that regard, at least historically. And Josh Jacobs, I think, is going to be one of the best backs in the league, but neither one of these two is being nearly as successful as they've been without those two nasty guards, you know, two very different tackles. And then Hudson, the leader in the middle, it's a really good group.
It really is. And, you know, the funny thing about the offensive line is it really hasn't even played all season long together as that one unit. I mean, they did on Thursday night, but leading up to that Thursday night game, I think they had totaled like 10 snaps that they actually played with the all-star, all five starting guys. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. I mean, Trent Brown was out for a game because he was injured. Incognito was out two games because he was suspended. Rodney Hudson missed the game. He left the game early because he had an ankle injury, and then he didn't play the next game. Gabe Jackson didn't start the season. You know what I mean? There was so many mix and mash. I really raked Tom Cable over the coals all offseason long because I thought this guy is horrible. How did they hire this dude? Derek Carr got sacked 52 times. And you're right, Matt. I mean, he has to be protected. He's not a guy who's fleet of foot. He's not going to keep things alive with his legs too often. So he needs to be protected. And they went out and they did that. They got guys that can fit the scheme and do what they need to do. And Tom Cable has done a really good job with that offensive line. I don't like to give him a lot of credit, or I didn't want to, but I have to give him a lot of credit because what he's done with that offensive line and even not being the starting five for most of the year has been really, really good.
And it definitely starts up front. You can see what Mike Mayock and John Gruden are trying to do there, and the heaviest offensive line in the league and playing well, protecting Derek Carr. A little bit more about Derek Carr coming up, and I want to talk AFC playoff picture, which the Raiders are fully involved in now. Away creates thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/lockedon and use promo code Locked On during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/lockedon. A little bit more on Derek Carr in that passing game right now in Oakland. I think most people thought they had a pretty good grasp on who Derek Carr was coming into this season, but I feel like he's playing up a little bit right now under Gruden with that offensive line. And you miss Antonio Brown, and the wide receiving group isn't, you know, a brand name group, but they're getting production there from guys. Even when Williams was out, they were getting production. They've got a couple of rookies. I really like Keelan Doss, the undrafted player, and they had to play a little tug of war with the Jaguars to get him back into Oakland. And then Hunter Renfrow coming up with the role here, and he's just that classic overachieving, too small, too slow guy, tough, gets open on third and medium, can work in the slot, but he plays big and he plays faster than what he is. So I like what's going on there, and I think especially Renfrow fits really well with Carr's strengths.
He really does, and I like Renfrow a lot, man. I liked him when they drafted him in the fifth round. He's a Clemson guy. He's been under the big lights. He's been under the bright lights, you know, the big stage. He's been there, done that. And the thing I always tell Raider Nation about Hunter Renfrow is don't look at the total amount of catches. Don't look at the quantity of catches. Look at the quality of catches. When they need him, when they need that big first down, when they need that red zone touchdown, when they need that, you know, that play to extend a drive, he's the guy that Derek Carr is going to look for because he's the guy with the most sure hands. He's the guy who doesn't put the ball on the ground. In his whole career, Derek Carr's whole career, he's been plagued with Amari Cooper dropping balls, Michael Crabtree dropping balls, Seth Roberts dropping balls. I mean, everyone, you know, Tyrell Williams just a couple weeks ago in Houston dropped multiple balls that really, impacted them losing that game to the Texans. He is a guy that's sure-handed, and so that's what you really need. You need a guy that you can count on in the clutch. That's Hunter Renfrow, and now all of a sudden he's starting to get into the end zone. You're starting to see even his quantity of balls being thrown his way go up just because Derek Carr trusts him. But really, when it comes to Renfrow, it's all about quality catches.
You mentioned Carr, and he is playing really well. I think he and Gruden are riffing together and starting to understand one another and playing to each other's strengths really well. Do you agree that it's safe to say here in mid-November that he'll be the 2020 starter? And maybe past that, it might be a little optimistic, but is he the guy?
I don't think there's any question. I think if there was a question going into the season, and I know a lot of Raider Nation was really split on if Carr's the guy or if he's just a guy, but I believe now he's shown that what he can do in John Gruden's system in his second year and with some guys that aren't even, like you mentioned before, not even big household names, but he's understanding and he's taking control of the offense. And that's all that John Gruden ever has wanted him to do is just understand what's in front of him, read the defense, and set his team up for success. A lot of times, again, my biggest compliment to Derek Carr is not only being able to, you know, sling the ball around the yard and get it to the guy he has to get it to, but when he's at the line of scrimmage and he sees something that's not going to work or he sees a defense is set up to stop the play that's called, checking out of that play, checking into a run play, and then all of a sudden you see Josh Jacobs, boom, hit it for 30 yards or hit it for 25 yards, and you know that Derek Carr checked into that run. And that's what really kind of lets me know that he understands exactly what he's out there seeing from opposing defenses. And that's what makes me really feel like this is the guy that's going to take this team to the next level.
It's a great point, and you know Gruden loves that.
Yes, exactly. That, and that's all he wants. He wants that coach on the field.
So I know it's a little early. It's week 11, but I think we can take a quick peek at the playoffs. Oakland sitting at 5-4 right now. You have to take them seriously because their record says who they are at this point. Only a half game behind the 6-4 Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC West and tied with the Indianapolis Colts and, Matt, your Pittsburgh Steelers for the sixth seed right now in the AFC playoffs. So super surprising right now. If you look back from week three to now, talking about the Steelers and the Raiders tied for that sixth seed. And if we're going to go a step further looking ahead, what about tiebreakers? And this is where the Colts actually are behind both the Steelers and the Colts. Pitt wins the tiebreaker over Oakland based on best win percentage in conference games. Yeah. And they win the tiebreaker over Indy based on head-to-head. And the Raiders also have the tiebreaker over Indy on head-to-head. So Indy has to have a full game up on both the Steelers or the Raiders to get into the playoffs. And that bodes well for both Oakland and the Steelers. Do you expect Oakland to be there when we're talking about this in Week 17?
You know, right now there's a Raider fan with a big grin on his face because he knows what I'm about to say. And the thing is a lot of fans have been asking me about that, and I keep calling it the P word. I'm like, look, I know they're 5-4. I know that they're in good position. They've set themselves up nicely, but I'm just going to wait and say, you know what, let's see what happens this week against Cincinnati, a game you should win. Let's see what happens next week against the Jets, a game you should win, but won't be easy. And then all of a sudden you got Kansas City coming off a bye. Let's wait a couple weeks because, again, like I mentioned earlier, I feel like this team is ahead of schedule. They're not really, you know, they're doing a little bit better than probably most people, including themselves, but they won't tell you that, even expected them to be right now. You know, they probably won a little bit more and actually had an opportunity to win, again, that game in Houston. They probably should have won that one too, but they just let that one slip away. So I just want to see how this team continues to finish games. They're still very young. They're still learning how to finish. They're not a polished machine yet. They're not that one that's just okay, knows how to put the foot on the throat and just choke someone out. They're not really that team yet. So I just want to see them go a couple more weeks. I believe they're set up in great position to make a run at the P word and literally be there at the end of the season. They're playing meaningful games in November right now, so I'm excited by that. I just want to see how this continues to go before I say, yeah, they're going to be in the playoffs, or yeah, they're going to make a run in the playoffs. I just kind of want to wait just a couple more. I'm just hesitating just a little bit and really enjoying this ride instead of fast forward and going to the end of the season already.
Q, I'm starting to feel you on that too. And I'm not sold at all on the Bills. I think the Colts are in a rough spot. I think the Steelers have a nice path to the postseason with their schedule. But let's talk in 2 weeks, in two games that the Raiders are going to be favored in, and they probably should win. If they're right, sitting at 7-4, now we're talking.
Yeah. Now you're talking. You win the next two games that you should win, one at home and one on the road. Then, okay, now you're sitting in a nice position. You're sitting at 7-4, and now you're putting the pressure on the rest of the AFC. The other teams have to come through and start, you know, continue to win games, actually. And Pittsburgh, to their credit, they're probably overachieving as well since they're playing without Big Ben. But, hey, Minka Fitzpatrick, balling out of control, right? Probably like defensive player of the year, or at least in the running for it. He's keeping them in games. Their defense is keeping them in games. So they're going to be a tough out, man. They're a team to be reckoned with down the stretch as well. So don't hesitate and sleep on them either. And I know, Matt, I know that's okay by you.
Yeah, that's all right with me. My hometown's a little happier than they were a month ago, I can tell you that.
I believe it.
That's a heck of a turnaround. And I talked about what the difference was between an 0-3 Steelers team in week three to week 11 now, and a 1-2 Raiders team from week three to 11. A heck of a lot can change now between week 11 and week 16, so you still got to play this thing out. And if we have learned anything from the history of the NFL, it's going to be bonkers, and so many things are going to unexpected are going to happen. So just about anything can happen here, and almost any team can beat almost any team almost any week.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about it, man, if you're a Raider fan and you're fired up about the season and you kind of want to fast track the season, just realize that what's going on right now is the team is playing meaningful games in November, which hasn't happened in quite a while. Now, I know it happened in 2016, but before that, when was the last time that happened? You know what I mean? Usually in November, right now, I'm looking at the draft board. I'm looking at who's coming out and thinking, okay, well, where are they going to be picking at? Okay, this is a guy that I want to see in the silver and black. This is a guy I want to see in the silver and black. Right now, I'm not even paying attention. I know the hot names coming out in the draft, but I'm not worried about where their positions are right now because I know the Raiders still have business to handle in this season, and that this season is far from over. And that's something to be excited about. That's something to show that John Gruden, who's been away from the game for as long as he has, absolutely knows what he's doing. And that is a good, that's a good feeling. And of course, Mike Mayock, I don't want to take away from him. Him and his scouting staff, his scouting team, they've done a heck of a job as well, bringing in guys throughout the season.
Obviously, the Raiders aren't thinking draft like they usually are, but I bet you guys still have one eye on the Bears and where they're rooting against those guys.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I think last week they were ranked at number 10. I think maybe they're at 11 or 12 right now. But yeah, how great is that, that right now the Raiders are going to pick and they're going to have a first round pick. And right now it's actually the Bears before it's their own. You know what
right,
I mean?
Exactly.
That's, awesome, yeah. That's a great feeling as well.
Absolutely. Got to be great feelings right now for Oakland Raiders fans. And I like the message there from UQ. Enjoy the ride. You can find Locked On Raiders just like Locked On NFL on all of your favorite podcast apps. You can find him on Twitter at yourboyq254. Hear him middays, ESPN Central Texas Radio. Q, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much. Anytime you guys call, you know I'm ready for you. I appreciate it.
Love it.
Absolutely, bud. That was great.